Okay, Matthew 13. And on that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I shall heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And he presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. And the slave said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and they did not speak to them, and he did not speak to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, in the place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, and he who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to him, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came about that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in their synagogues, so that they became astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? They took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Amen. So chapter 13 is now the third block of teaching that Jesus gets into in the book of Matthew. And this one is a collection of parables. This is the first time that Jesus will speak in parables here in the book of Matthew. And each parable is meant to describe a different aspect of the kingdom of God. Remember, this is the whole point of all this teaching. It all centers around the kingdom of God. It's so foreign to them, or their view of the kingdom is so different than the way that Jesus is describing here in this place. This is a very, very long day. It's actually an extremely exhausting day for Jesus and for his disciples. And so he goes by the sea, and there's so many people that he actually has to sit on a boat to talk to. And the idea would be, one, to create a stage, but also the other idea, which is very smart, is he would use the water to reverberate his voice. And so, his voice could be heard a lot better amongst the people. And so Matthew uses parables here. It's first time. And I'm going to explain the parables in a moment. But parables, not only is it prophecy. Remember, Matthew was very much about fulfillment. You know, this is the fulfillment formula. So he did this to fulfill this. You know, we see a bunch of this even in this chapter. And so not only was it a fulfilling of a messianic prophecy, but even more so, parables and the way Jesus used it was a way of giving even more understanding to those who already understand, as well as taking away from people who stubbornly refuse to hear or to understand. Okay, some people think that, that Jesus is purposely trying to blind. Jesus is purposely trying to confuse people. He's not. And to get an idea, you have to read Isaiah, what he quotes here, Isaiah 6. This is verse 14, very carefully. And he's basically, so I'll put it this way. Jesus is not trying to blind them. They're already blind. Jesus is not trying to deafen them. They're already deaf. That's what Isaiah is saying. He says, you already cannot hear. Why? Because it's their heart. And so Jesus is not purposely trying to confuse them. They're already confused. And so this is not his attempt, to do something. He's just commentating on something that's already happening in their life in this way. And so he goes to the first parable, the sower and the seed. And usually these come in packages, okay? And so the sower and the seed. Now, we could have the idea that the sower, which is you know, God, which is the Lord. A sower is just kind of like walking and just chucking seeds randomly. He's not doing that. He's not randomly throwing seeds all over the place. We have to understand first century farming principles in this way. And what they would do is they would plow. He would put the seeds in, and then they would turn over the soil. And so they actually wouldn't know if it was good soil until they turned it over, and it would take a little bit of time. And so he's not carelessly tossing, you know, seeds left and right. He's, you know, it's not like, oh, I hope this hits or something like that. Every seed has an intention to grow, right? Every seed is meant to bring a harvest. But we know that there is spiritual warfare. There are things that happen that come out. And the reality, like going back to the Isaiah passage, even though they see the miracles, they really don't see them, right? Even though they hear the teaching, they actually really don't hear. The people do not see, they do not hear. Why? Because they have a stubborn heart. That's what it really comes down to. It's their own stubborn disbelief, their dull, callous hearts. And this is why the whole point, you know, when we talk through this, is to cultivate a heart for the Lord. And then verse 16 is the berakot, the blessing. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. All right, there's something that's going through in that place. And then the next one, remember, the parables come in packages, come in twos. And so the next one is about the tares among the weeds, the tares among the weeds. And this parable is only unique to Matthew. And obviously, this would really relate. Remember, part of Matthew's design for the writing is to encourage the first century Christians that are battling through persecution. And so this parable of the tares among right the wheat would have really resonated with the first century Christians. I mean, think about the situation. They're there, they're trying to serve the Lord, but there's fakes among them. There's people, there are spies that are in their midst. They're trying to rat them out to the authorities, to the Jewish authorities, and, you know, and also to the Roman authorities in this place. And they would have really, really resonated with this. There are informers, you know, around them, and who's also sown within their community. So the Lord, he sows good seeds, but the enemy sows bad seeds. These spies or these informers that are in this place. The word that's used, the word weed, to give you a little idea, it's a zizanion in Greek, and it's talking about a weedy rye. And the strange thing about this, or the interesting thing about this, is when you first look at it, it looks exactly like wheat. But over time, it actually contains poison. This is so interesting. Even the minutest words that Jesus uses, right? This zizanion, if you look at it, it's a wheat rye. It looks just like wheat. I mean, at first glance, it looks just like it. But then over time, it turns into a poisonous seed. And that says a lot about spiritual warfare, you know, about the body. It's going to happen. You know, the strange thing, and I mean, the thing that, to be honest, the thing that really perplexes me is that that God, like, because, you know, they ask, oh, should we, you know, root them out? And he says, no, don't do that. And this is part of God's heart and God's compassion, because when you root this out, you may also, you know, root out the good seeds. And so he wants to do everything to preserve those good seeds. And that's primarily because, you know, these guys really don't have the discernment to figure out what's what. And he says, but God says, I'll judge at the judgment. And I think that's such an interesting thing, but it's a bit troubling too, because, you know, why would God allow these poisonous seeds to reside also amongst good seeds? You know, I mean, how does that work? Why would he allow such, you know, looks like a Christian, but is poisonous? Why would he allow them to coexist together? You know, and I don't know. I mean, I have some ideas, but I don't know. You know, I just don't know how it works like this. You know, but we've seen this. I mean, we've experienced this, you know, happen in our lives. And it just goes like this. It's one of those questions you ask the Lord when you get to heaven. Right. The conclusion of this is, you know, you let them grow together and then the Lord will separate them at the end. You know, maybe it's a way of challenging us, testing us. I mean, there could be all different reasons, but I don't know. You know, for whatever reason, right, Jesus allows the poison to exist side by side, but judgment is coming, right? And that's kind of the final answer there. And then he gets to the mustard seed, and the mustard seed is complemented, right, comes together, the pair, with the leaven. And the mustard seed in Jesus' time, now we know that there's other seeds smaller, but in Jesus' time, this was the smallest known seed, but yet it was capable of growing a tremendous, enormous plant. And he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Yeast, it's like, you know, a small, tiny mustard seed, same idea. But a little bit of yeast will leaven a whole loaf. Now, why is this significant? Because, listen, you can get discouraged. You know the parable of the sower? Like, only 25%. Like, that's not good odds. If you got 25% on your exam, you got like an F minus, 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 minus. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a worse than failing grade. And only 25% actually is fruitful, but he says, but that 25% is small, but man, it can do a lot. And so even though the percentages may not run, you know, in our favor, it's okay because this is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is small things that turn into big things. Small things that have a huge impact. Something that starts out small yields impressive results. This is the kingdom of God. Though it's small, right, there is a remarkable harvest that comes out. And this is part of the fulfillment formula. And Asaph in Psalm 78 prophesies about Jesus. And these parables means this unveiling of truth, right, since the foundations of the world. And so he's not making it more obscure, okay? You hear what Asaph's saying? He says he's revealing this truth that was way from the beginning. It's been obscure, but the revelation is coming through these parables. And then there's another combo of parables, and you think about it. If Jesus was trying to obscure people, why would he share two different parables basically to say the same point? You know what I mean? So obviously that's not his intent. And so the next one is treasure and pearls. And so this is also unique to Matthew. And this is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is worth giving everything up for. Like the treasure, the pearl, this is the kingdom. Not only does it start small and it produces incredible results, the kingdom of heaven is so valuable that you would give up everything for this thing just to possess it, even your life. That's that parable. And then the final parable unique to Matthew again. And, you know, and this parable would have really resonated with some of the disciples, particularly John, James, Andrew, and Peter, you know, the fishermen that were there. The fishermen represent the angels who will separate the evil from the good on the day of judgment. And at the end, Jesus asks the listeners if they understand this, right? So it's now it's about judgment that's coming. And then they understand this, and Jesus makes this, or Matthew makes this comment at the end there, and that about Jesus commending a scribe. You never really see Jesus doing that. And a scribe that's a part of his community is being celebrated. You know who that scribe is? It's Matthew. It's Matthew. So he's, you know, he gets to write a little thing about himself, you know, and put it down in history, which I think is pretty cool. And so then he has this incredible night of a whole day of teaching. I mean, it's just all through the night. His disciples, you know, this is like a good sign. They understand what he is saying. And so they make their way, you know, a 15-mile journey to Nazareth. So he's in the synagogue. And you could imagine that Jesus is very familiar. He was in the synagogue when he was a little boy. You know, he grew up in this town of Nazareth. And so now he's probably reading the same scrolls that he read as a little boy. And then, but something happens, they get offended by him. We don't really know what happened here, but Luke tells us that when he's speaking, you know, about this incident, that as he reads Isaiah, Jesus concludes with a brief thought about how God basically reaches out to Gentiles or has reached out to Gentiles historically. Just read the Luke passage, the parallel passage here, and he mentions that. And so obviously that really offended the Nazarenes. And they turn and this is, you know, I just make a little commentary. Look what they said. They said, you know, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters multiple? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Now, I want to be as nice as possible when I say this. There is a cult of personality around Mary. And you need to know, I mean, this is empirical evidence. Mary was not a virgin after Jesus. We see here she had at least six kids, probably many more, you know, that comes afterwards. You know, and so to continue this depiction is really ludicrous in many different ways. And so, I mean, that's a side note. But look what happens. He comes. He's doing miracles. I mean, he was this little boy that was teaching. I'm sure he blew their minds. If he blew the minds of those in Jerusalem in the temple, you know, when he was a 12-year-old kid, can you imagine, you know, how he's blowing their minds, you know, as he's growing up in the temple or in the synagogue, and they turn to him and they get offended. They get offended by what he says. Just the simple idea of Gentile inclusion. And they're offended by this, and they took offense, and then, again, this is another fulfillment formula, and he says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household, the messianic prophecy that takes place. And this is a sad part, 58, and he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. It's so sad. Right? This is the part of God's gentleman nature, right? You know, for whatever, he doesn't violate our free will. You know, you can choose to allow the Lord to come into your life. You can choose to open your heart to God. I mean, there's all these things that take place that we have a will to do this. And for whatever reason, the Lord will just stay there. And then if you don't believe, he will go. You know, my friend would always say, you know, really simply, it says, hey, you know, I mean, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it says, it's okay. If you don't believe in healing, Don't worry about it. It just won't happen to you. You know, I mean, just in a simple way. You don't believe in this? Don't worry about it. It just won't happen to you. You know, and there's something about cultivating our heart in this way. And, I mean, can you imagine this? He was doing miracles, right? I mean, miracles. And yet, nothing was happening inside of their heart, right? Which actually goes back to this whole idea that, you know, seeing sometimes is not believing, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I prayed for people. And I've prayed for people that actually supernaturally healed. You know, I'm not talking about a headache. You know, I'm talking about serious, serious injuries, you know, where, you know, bones and, you know, doctors and you know, the whole deal. And then afterwards, you say, I don't know. I don't know if that was God. But we just literally, you asked to pray. I prayed in Jesus' name. You were healed instantly. I mean, instantly. I mean, separated shoulders. I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know, and still refuse to believe, right? It's not because Jesus is obscuring himself. It's the hardness of the heart. All right, so let's close our eyes. Just like in the Old Testament, a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. You think, man, what a bad way to end the day, right? His disciples finally get something, but it ends in this way. But you know what? It's just like his teaching. Even though he is rejected, there is reason to hope. Why? Because small beginnings will result in a huge harvest. Even though the Nazarene soil was unproductive, there is more fertile soil waiting to hear the good news of the kingdom. There is something, friends, about cultivating a heart for God and having ears and hearing and having eyes and seeing. The only difference is the stubbornness of our hearts. Jesus is not obscure. He says this wisdom is from the foundation of the world. It's always been there. Ecclesiastes says that he has set eternity in our hearts. In other words, there's a part of us, there's something inside every single one of us that longs for God. Pascal would say that every one of us has a heart-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. There's a deep longing. That's why if you study cultural anthropology, you know that every culture, every people group, every society, from the known beginnings, every single one has a deity figure. Either a tree or the sun. Everyone worships something. Why? Because he had put eternity in our hearts. There's a deep human longing for the divine. And so our job is to cultivate our heart before God so that we could really see and we could really hear. Right? The greatest obstacle was this stubbornness. This refusal to believe. Now let the Holy Spirit speak to us today about offering a soft, teachable, open heart before the Lord.
Used to be darkness without you. I lived my life in blindness, and now I'm found, and I'll see. soul. And I'll sing because the world can't take away your love. You found me in weakness. You came to me in kindness, and now I live, and I'll sing, I love you so. Because the world can't take away your love. And I'll sing, I love you so. And I'll sing. The world can't take away your love, and I'll give my for all you've done, I'll give my life for you, Lord. For all you've done, I'll give my life for you, Lord. Oh, so. And I'll sing because the world can't take away your love. And I'll sing, I love you so. Because the world can't take away your love.
And David cried out and said, create in me a clean heart, O God. We can pray a similar prayer this morning. Lord, create in me an open heart. Lord, create in me a teachable heart. Create in me a moldable heart. But a heart that obeys you, and a heart that is soft towards you, flexible. Let's offer our hearts to the Lord. Let's pray against the desire to be stubborn, to be inflexible. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer. They're going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgeries, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that is battling through COVID. Let's pray for God's healing over them. And let's pray for our frontline medical workers. Ask God to protect them and strengthen them. And also, let's continue to pray for the nurse shortage here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Let's lift up our ministries there and here. Let's pray for SPSG. Pray for P. Sam Kim. Pray for the leaders there. The congregation would really draw close to God. Pray for Spin and Spill, Pastor Salomon, Pastor Ernie. Let's pray for our community here in Hong Kong that they would continue to grow and during this fast really draw near to God. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, our IP, the well, and the river. Let's pray for our leaders. Pray for our volunteers that are helping out. Let's pray that as they pray, as they minister to people, that there will be such power and anointing. Let's just cover them. Let's pray for local outreach. Let's ask God to continue to be with our leaders, equip them. Pray for volunteers that are there. Also pray for more volunteers to join. They will really make an impact every time they go out. Let's pray for SP 2.0, and with that, let's pray for our building resources. Pray for Amanda. We mentioned yesterday at the Suns meeting that we're renovating, starting to renovate the ninth floor. We're moving some space, and so let's pray for her and pray for the team that's going to be rebuilding. Let's continue to lift up benefactor and pray for the Vision Fund. Let's pray for the pregnant ladies in our house. Let's pray for their health. Let's pray for their baby's health. Pray for a smooth delivery. I think some are due really soon. And so let's pray if there's any anxiety or anything, that God would really give them a lot of rest during this time. Let's just cover their families. Let's go to our member focus. Let's pray for Christina. Pray for her mom for a balanced recovery, physical and mental. Pray for protection over colleagues and her premature baby, and just pray for stability at work. Oh, let's bless our sister. Let's pray for John Moon. Let's pray for wisdom to take care of aging parents, for Liz to grow in self-esteem and to be secure. Pray for healing for his gout, his lower back, and arthritis and joints. Let's lift up John. Thank you.
Let's pray for Soka. Pray for healing for a friend, Venice, who has breast cancer, stage 3. Now let's lift up. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the word, for the parables, God. To him who has, Lord, much more will be given, Lord. And whoever does not have, God, even more will be taken away. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding, God, that we would do our part, Lord. We would cultivate a heart before you, Lord. We would labor in such a way, God, to present something soft, usable, teachable before you, Lord. Help us, God, to do that, Lord. God, we thank you. We pray, Lord, that you would give us discernment, Lord God. Lord, there will always be weeds, Lord, among the good seed. And so help us, God, to discern and to continue to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. God, we thank you. We love you. Lord, just watch over us. God, as we continue to seek you, Lord, especially this last week of the fast, Lord, would you give us extra strength, God, to really focus on you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy.